Ever wonder what psychologist moms talk about when we get together? Whether we're consulting one another about a challenging case or one of our own kids, or just leaning on each other when parenting feels hard, because trust me, even when we do this for a living, it's still hard. Joining me each week in these special Thursday shows are two of my closest friends, both moms, both psychologists. They're the people I call when I need a sounding board. These are our unfiltered answers to your parenting questions. We're letting you in on the conversations the three of us usually have behind closed doors. This is Securely Attached, Beyond the Sessions. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Dr. Emily Upshur, Dr. Rebecca Hirschberg. So glad to have you with me again this week.
Always so much fun. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So I got a DM and I feel like this is going to be an interesting conversation because I am like, oh, we're going to talk screens today. Hi, Dr. Bren. I'm thinking about starting screen time. Any idea if tablets are better to start with than TVs on a wall? I'm afraid the TV is visibly there, so my toddler will ask for it versus the tablet, which can be out of sight and maybe out of mind. So this seems like a very reasonable question to me. And like, also it's, I feel like our answers are going to be complicated.
As usual. Yeah.
But maybe we won't even answer the question, which would be awesome.
Well, so first things first, I'm hearing in this, I don't know the exact age, but it's a toddler. So we're talking and it's introducing screen time. So there's like a bit of a specific lens there. Although I kind of feel like we could talk about tablet versus TV for older kids as well, because I have a lot of actual feelings about this one, but I don't know if they match up with yours actually, because they're, that's the thing about screens is every parent has lots of different views and usually very valid strategies and or struggles. What's your thoughts? Do you guys deal with this at your home? Emily, I'm looking at
yes.
you.
Yeah. I think it's funny when you said I have lots of ideas, and because I don't know if it's just because I'm like older or what, but I think there is a difference between like TV and a tablet, with frankly TV being a little less, having a little less like worry about screens for me, right? Versus a tablet having a little bit more of that weighty, like, oh, this is a tablet, this is a screen, this feels different. And that might be completely illogical, you know, in as my parenting response. But my feeling is, for either one of these things, actually, I think what this parent said is really important, which is like, how do I maintain control over titrating sort of access to screens for my child? And I think like the fear of the TV is there, you know, or that type of thing is actually not as much the issue as like having a strategy around, you know, what you think is an appropriate amount of time for your child. And I'm sure you guys will both understand that I'm also extremely forgiving to parents who are like, I just need that 30 minutes of TV for my kids so I can put my other kid down for a nap or so that I can cook dinner, you know, in modern day society where there's a lot less like hands on deck for, especially for this individual who has a toddler, you know, there's nothing terrible about that, you know? And so I think relieving the guilt of that would be my other like first gut.
Yeah. I almost feel like we should even have a disclaimer right now at the beginning of this episode, right? Yeah. Where we're like, we might talk about things that we would recommend or not recommend that you may be doing the things that we're not recommending or not doing the things we're recommending, and like take it or leave it, right? Like I do not want this to be like a shamey episode where we just make people feel crappy about what they're doing for screens. Because honestly, like I can share with you my like professional thoughts on this based on like the research that I've read and sort of the clinical insights that I've gained. But I can also tell you that as a mom, I might not even follow all the rules that I'm sort of suggesting because like you said, Emily, like sometimes you're just like, I don't care. Like, I just need a break. Like, we're going to do whatever works right now. So I just feel like that's an important point to start is just like, take this as like an open-minded exploration of possibilities rather than like a prescriptive should or shouldn't do. But I do agree with you on the differentiation between a TV and a tablet, specifically the ease of use versus friction. I think about sometimes when we're talking about screens in terms of like what has more friction, and more friction being better, which is counterintuitive to how we think about technology. We want tech, we want our things to load instantly and be super quick to use. So do our kids. And also that's very carefully designed by tech companies to make it incredibly sort of immersive and addictive. And so you sort of forget the world around you. It's so easy that we kind of don't even think about how much we're using it. So the almost going back to a little bit more of an analog approach, I think is better for kids. So starting out with the most friction possible, that's going to be a television that has a remote that maybe our kids don't fully know how to operate because it's definitely not as intuitive as a touchscreen, which kids can learn in 2 seconds flat. I actually think is going to give you more control as a parent, especially of a very young kid, right? A 2-year-old's not going to be able to figure out the remote. And so then you're in charge of how they access it. And then once it's on, how they interface with it. Whereas if you give your child, a 2-year-old can interact with the screen pretty quickly. They're going to learn how to maneuver around that device. And then they'll be incredibly independent on it, which we actually maybe don't want right away. We want a little bit more dependence on us to be able to interact with this technology at a younger age.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I agree with that sometimes and in some ways. There's other kids that I think really thrive doing the more active stuff on a screen, on a tablet that you can do and not on a TV. I mean, they have amazing like drawing games for kids, you know, let's say for toddlers. And so there's part of me that's like, you know, sort of the old part to Emily's point comes in where it's like, just give them paper and crayons, you know? And
that's what was in my head when you were saying that. Like, if you're going to draw, give them paper and crayons.
Yeah. Yes. And that's not the world anymore. Like, if you're a toddler in 2024, drawing on a tablet is, first of all, really freaking cool. And you can do a lot of different things. And also, I mean, I don't love talking about screens, even though I think, Sarah, your point about not shaming is so well taken. And I can name 10 different families that I know personally and professionally that do 10 different things. And they're the quote unquote right things for their kids and families based on all the factors. But I think there's just a bias that we have when we start conversations about screens that immediately starts with like all the dangers that they can be associated with, and not necessarily the incredibly cool powers for good that they can do. And I just think it's important to bring that into the conversation early on. Like, screens are incredible technology. Yes, we have to be aware of all of the possible risks, and yet how unbelievably cool that our kids can learn how to do these amazing things on screens. And we can teach them to be curious and have fun and enjoy. And we don't have to go in as parents with our anxiety already elevated, as I hear from this mom's question, because of all the fear mongering there is, that most of which from the research I've read is relatively unfounded, barring 6 hours of like, you stay home alone on your tablet and I'm going to go party, you know? So
I think like, I don't know, to me, I think also the kids change. I mean, like, in every child has such a different relationship with this. So for me, it's in birth order. Forget about that. Like, you have all the best intentions of not
with your first kid, right?
You know, and like, I crush that for kid number one, and for kid number three, like, not so much, you know?
And the cost benefit analysis, like you already said, of like, I have a choice of like losing it at my kid all night long because I'm so exhausted and overwhelmed versus giving them a tablet for 3 hours, which is never something I would recommend in a vacuum compared to like playing outside and drawing with crayons. But like, if that's not an option on a particular, like, so, and then if you outweigh the risks of like yelling at your kids versus tablets, like that's an apples to oranges comparison. But I might argue that there's a case to be made for decreasing your parenting stress as being healthy for your kids. I think the question is really, really complicated.
And it's very difficult to separate all of these conflated variables that we're talking about, right? Like parental stress and bandwidth and burnout are, I think, a big factor in whether or not we might choose to use a screen in a certain moment. And I think it's totally appropriate if we are burnt out, have no bandwidth, and are under a tremendous amount of stress to be able to say, I'm triaging right now. And that's totally okay. But I would then say, we need to look at this stress, burnout, and bandwidth issue as a, I'm, you know, I approach a lot of this stuff as a maternal mental health provider, right? Like I work with lots of kids and families and parents to help children, but there's no way that I'm not also looking at the parents' mental health as I'm doing that, because you got to look at the entire family system. And if
we're
chronically using screens as a way to modulate our own stress levels, then we have to look at that too. Not that that's, oh, you're doing a bad thing, shame on you, parent, but whoa, what's going on for you that you have only that tool in your toolbox right now? And how do we expand your toolbox and also decrease your stress levels? And that's less of a screen time issue as it is a parental mental health issue.
And a societal issue. I mean,
for sure.
We're putting a whole lot more money into developing tech that's going to be addictive for kids than we are to taking care of moms and and parents with regard to, you know, and that's intentional, because guess who makes money from one and not the other? I mean, we can get very, you know,
I know,
conspiratorial and patriarchy.
It's
bashing,
so funny. It's like, know, this mom that is asking us literally, like, I got a toddler, TV or tablet? And we're like, it's the patriarchy.
But it is. But truly, there's a piece of it that is. And I think, and I do think, as much as we're going down a rabbit hole and there is a concrete question here, I also think it depends on the kid. You know, there are kids who have a tremendously hard time putting down their tablet. And anecdotally, you know, I can name 10 off the top of my head where I would say, whoa, 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 they're clearly not ready. This is so stressful for the family. Just putting it away when they're done, they have this hangover from it. You have this, you know, and then other families where it decreases stress to give it. And I just, that's why I was talking about data. Like, I really do feel like in some ways, it's all so unique right now to kids and families, with some broad strokes of generalizations, of course.
I think where I like come with that, like just to give that a metric on an individual level, is like, how is this impacting your family life, right? And is it, to your point exactly, Rebecca, like, is this decreasing some stress and like relieving some, you know, allowing you to cook, which you really like to do, and your kid is okay, and it's not a big meltdown when you take it away? Or, you know, like in our family, it was like, you don't want to go swimming today because you'd rather be on your tablet, and that's against our family values, right? So I think it's a little bit of like, what are some of the metrics in your family life that could be disrupted or eased, and, you know, with this relationship with technology, and just being mindful about that and moving forward in a way that's, you know, mindfully attuned to that sort of those dynamics and making a choice around that. So with this parent, like introducing TV and seeing how it's going, and if her toddler, you know, is like, okay, I'm ready for dinner, you know, after the TV time, or even is like, oh, and has a, you know, 2 minute normal toddler reaction to a transition, like, maybe that's okay. You know? And I think that, you know, like, you have to do a little bit of throwing spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticks. Like, you have to do a little trial and error and see, and maybe talking about that through a process, even with a younger kid, like, oh, it's hard to turn this off. So I think we have to do a little bit less of this is also appropriate. I think just sort of like working together to figure it out as a family.
Absolutely. I agree.
And I do think if you are being intentional about how you want to introduce screens, right? It's one thing if like you're already in it and you're trying to sort of say like, is it okay? How do I back it up? I have worked with families who have young kids who are on YouTube, engaging in, like, you know, the web-based kind of interactions on tablets. And they're finding it to be problematic, and it's so much harder to dial that back.
I think that's a great point, though, Sarah, because I think, like, when you were saying that, what I was thinking is maybe we should pull back a little and treat tablets and TV not too dissimilar from anything else we do with our children, which is matching their developmental level to the thing we're doing, right? So when my kids were little, their screen time was predominantly the Animal Planet and, you know, sort of like the Nature Channel. We did a lot of nature, a lot of planet historic, you know, and I think that's developmentally appropriate for younger children. So I think screens we don't have to like reinvent a whole new wheel for this. Like YouTube content and more sophisticated adult content isn't developmentally appropriate for younger kids. You wouldn't give them the game Life, you know, you would play Uno, you know? So it's like, I think you sort of have to balance that what you would imagine is, and you know, we have lots of material on this and I'm sure it's out there, but what you imagine is the developmentally appropriate content for your child's age and stage. And that can also be reflected in their screen time.
Right. But I think there's content, which you're speaking to, which I think is totally appropriate to be thinking about, but then there's also vehicle. Because there is research that talks about how, like, the shortened attention spans that have been coming and, like, the difficulty with executive functioning that have been associated with a lot of screen time use in younger kids. And a lot of that is the ability for kids to, like, jump to the end of a video, skip to the next thing, forward, forward, forward. You know, the way that even YouTube for kids, which the content may be child friendly, the mechanism by which they're watching it and engaging with it is developmentally not particularly appropriate for really young kids, because they do have really, you know, if you watch a child play, a little child, you know, one, two, three years old, they don't just very rarely do they focus on one thing for a very long period of time. They start something over here and then they walk over here and then they do this thing over here and then they come back to that other thing and then they move in and out of play zones with great frequency, and that's appropriate. They will do that too on a tablet if that's the vehicle that they're using to engage with. And that's not, I think, as optimal. Whereas, like, if they're sitting in front of a television and we put a show on for them and they can watch that show, or they can lose interest and go off and maybe they're going to go build something over here, or maybe they're going to follow us into the kitchen and ask for a snack, and maybe they'll come back and watch a little more. And they're really just kind of, it's a part of the environment. It's a part of the play space that they can interact with and choose to move in and out of it as they are so inclined to do. That's actually not a bad thing. That's using the television show as, like, another anchor in their play environment. Developmentally for young kids, I think that that's more optimal than giving them a screen that allows them to do all that moving and changing and shifting attention in one tiny little place without getting up and engaging with their environment like their bodies kind of want to. So it creates.
What if you're sitting next to your kid? What if you're doing it with your kid?
That's actually different, I think. I think that's a different function. We're talking about replacing perhaps independent play with independent television time or independent screen time. That's sort of, I would put those all in the same bucket, right? What does independent television or screen time displace? Probably independent play for very young kids. If, however,
I know a lot of kids, I'm just want to interrupt because I think you're right. They are very different, but it's important to different. Like, that's one of the differentiations that when I have clients, they don't necessarily make. It's like, oh my gosh, we were at the airport, or like, we have pictures on my phone. Is it okay to show them to my 2-year-old? Because that's a screen. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
There's no, like, chemical. I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there who believes this, no doubt. But, like, to my mind, there's no chemicals, like, emanating from your screen that it makes the screen the issue. I think that's important. If you are sitting with your 2.5-year-old doing, just to go back to it, some cool drawing thing on an iPad, that, what a cool activity that might hold their attention more than something. Like, I just these differentiations, and I think they feel kind of more obvious to us, Sarah, because we have these conversations 10 times a day. Mm-hmm. But for people who are listening, I think just noting that that's you are talking about giving a kid a tablet and walking away and doing something else. We've all been talking about that because we've been talking about the stress factor.
Right.
That's different from sitting with a kid and doing some cool activity on a tablet.
Yeah. But that I think would fall into that different, your very good point that you're making is to differentiate what, that's a good question kind of in general to be using as like a filter when we're thinking about, do I want to give my kid a screen in this moment right now? What is it displacing, right? If it's displacing independent playtime, maybe I want to be mindful of how much independent playtime I'm choosing to displace with a screen, because we do know that independent playtime is important. And I can hear people watching this right now being like, but my kid won't play independently. There is, that is a skill that has to be built. It is not easy. I acknowledge that. And also if you want to learn strategies for independent play, we'll link podcast episodes that I've done on that, because there is stuff you can do to help build that skill. That's for a different episode. But assuming your child has that skill or you're interested in having them build that skill, independent screen time is going to displace that. And that's not a problem. You just want to be mindful of how much and how frequently you're displacing it. That's one bucket. To your point, Rebecca, the other bucket, or one other of many other buckets, might be connected time with me, their parent, right? And again, you don't probably want to displace all of your connected, engaged time with your kid doing screen-based activities exclusively. But if you want to incorporate that into your connected time, I think that can be incredible and really, really valuable, and perhaps even more of an appropriate use of screens. Appropriate is not the right word, but has been associated with more benefits. Like I have seen lots of studies that say that the parents who watch shows and engage
and narrate them
with their kids helps them tremendously. So there's definitely research that suggests that watching shows with your kid, having family movie night, it introduces all this rich topic of conversation and opportunities to like create learning moments and have connection. And it's just, it's great. There's good things that happen with that. So if you're going to be like, I'm only going to do screens X amount of time, maybe we're focusing more on those connected sort of shared screen use moments and maybe less of the independent play time. And also sometimes you're going to give your kid a screen during that sort of independent time so that you can go cook dinner, because you don't want them to, you know, get in your way under feet when you're cooking dinner. You need a break, right? So I think there's a time and place for all of it, but I think it is very valuable, as you're pointing out, to separate the function of that screen time. What might it be displacing? And then being mindful of like, how much is it being used? What's the ratio in that particular bucket of screen time versus
I think those are two important questions for sure that can frame the decision.
And then there's like a third category for sure, which is like travel. And I'm like, go nuts. Go freaking nuts.
There's like 100 categories. That's kind of, you know, to my point. I mean, I feel like I'm like the crazy person on the sideline who like keeps waving the sign like, no, it's complicated. Stop trying to make it simple. Yeah. But, I know we do have to make it simple. And I think those two questions that you frame plus travel, you know, are good starting places. And I think that as we have more and more questions and presumably podcasts about screen time, just to keep in mind all the nuances and all the stuff we still don't know.
Yeah.
Because and I think they are relatively new.
I agree. And I think like as parents, everybody has like a natural gut reaction. Mine is always like, ugh, even for travel, even when you're saying travel, I'm like, ugh, like 6 hours of them on an iPad. But I think that the truth is, screens are here. Like the thing I say to myself all the time is screens are here. Screens are here to stay. This, my like gut instincts of some draconian, you know, no screens, no screens for you is not realistic. And so I think you know, being more open-minded and being and figuring out the balance rather than like yes or no screens, yes or no, is really, I think, what I would end on. You know, that's sort of how I feel about it. Yeah. Is figuring it out is part of the process.
So let's all give everybody a lot of grace as they parent their children in this world of screens. Good luck to you all. Send us more questions about screens, though, because I like this and I feel like this is, you know, it is a complex conversation. And I know that this might, this conversation that we're having right now might bring up more questions as people are listening. So send them in, you know, we can keep talking about this. All right. Have a great day.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. As you can hear, parenting is not one size fits all. It's nuanced and it's complicated. So I really hope that this series where we're answering your questions really helps you to cut through some of the noise and find out what works best for you and your unique child. If you have a burning parenting question, something you're struggling to navigate, or a topic you really want us to shed light on or share research about, we want to know. Go to drsarahbrennan.com/question to send in anything that you want Rebecca, Emily, and me to answer in Securely Attached Beyond the Sessions. That's drsarahbrennan.com/question. And check back for a brand new Securely Attached next Tuesday. And until then, don't be a stranger.